invited to come and preach in this conference. I don't think I said it last year, but I will this year, that if I hadn't been invited to preach, God giving me the grace and the privilege to do so, I would be here anyway. God's been so good to us and blessed us, watched over us and cared for us, keeps all of his promises.
Amen.
I'm glad of that, aren't you?
Amen.
Been a great conference thus far. We missed last night's services. I was preaching in Lexington and then left and came on in, but tell you what makes you feel good is when you get here and folks say, Brother Hall, we missed you last night. Now that's encouraging, and I appreciate that. And I know that there are folks that pray for us, not only now, but in the mission work in Cairo and Cape Girardeau, Missouri. God has blessed us, and we have grown some since the last time we were here. We have a family that is joined by the grace of God that is a great help to us. We also have two new families that have been coming, and so we just about filled that building the other day. But it doesn't take many to fill that building, if you've ever been there. So I wanted to be honest with you now. Just a small building, you get 25 in there and you've got a crowd. But we enjoy it. God's been good to us. If you're taking notes, and some folks do, I'd like to give you some scriptures to write down, and you can read them in your leisure. But in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, Mark chapter 3, beginning or reading verse 16, Luke chapter 6, verse 14, and Acts chapter 1, verse 13. In all of these four passages of Scripture that I have given to you, you'll find the 12 apostles all listed together. That all of the names of the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ are mentioned together except in the book of Acts chapter 1. And Judas's name is omitted because he had gone out and hung himself. But in all of these others that I gave you, Matthew 10, Mark 3, Luke 6, we find that they're all listed together. And these 12 men are those whom made up the first church of the Lord Jesus Christ that was established upon this earth. You can never study about the 12 apostles except that you study about the first church that Jesus ever organized and established upon the earth.
Amen.
You can never do a study upon the first church that Jesus ever organized upon this earth except that you study the 12 apostles.
Amen.
We find this to be true. I'd like to preach this afternoon, by God's grace, a message that we shall entitle The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and its authority to reproduce itself. If the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ do not have authority to reproduce themselves, then who does in this world today?
Amen.
We find that these 12 men, and when I say 12, I include Judas, recognizing the truth that he was not saved, never saved. John said that he was a devil, or of the devil. But these 12 men knew Jesus Christ prior to these passages of Scripture where they're all mentioned together, that they knew him prior to this choosing out and sending forth to preach. They had given evidence of repentance toward God and had and faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they had received John's baptism. Now look with me in the book of Acts chapter 1, and we find this to be true. For the very qualifications in order to be an apostle was this very thing. We find in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, when the church had met together to choose out another apostle to take the place of Judas. Beginning in verse 21, Peter said, "Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." So by this we know that these 12 men had given evidence of repentance of their sin toward God, putting their faith, or at least professing faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and receiving the only kind of baptism that was authorized of God at that time at the hands of John the Baptist. So from this idea or this thought, I'd like for us to take up the study concerning the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and its authority to reproduce itself. We already have noticed that these men were the charter members of the first church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to point out to you that each one of them was chosen of Christ. According to the Word of God in Luke chapter 6, we find this to be true. If you'd like to turn with me, I'd like for you to notice that they were chosen of Christ. They did not choose Him, but He chose them. We find in the book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and out of them He chose 12, whom also He named apostles." Amen. Look with me in the book of John chapter 13, and we find again that Jesus asserts that He chose them for the very purpose of organizing and instituting His kind of a church upon the earth. In John chapter 13, in verse 18, we find Jesus speaking to these same men in the capacity of a church. He said, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled," or filled to the full, "He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." So we find once again that Jesus says that He chose them. He even chose Judas for a very special purpose, according to the predetermined counsel of God. We find in John chapter 15, if you'd like to read with us, in John chapter 15 and verse 16, speaking to this same group of men whom He had organized into a New Testament church, in John chapter 15 and verse 16, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit." In verse 19 of John chapter 15, Jesus said, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of," or "you are not out of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find this same truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, we find the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, telling them that the apostles were chosen of God and set in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, Paul says, "And God has set some in the church first apostles." We find that they were chosen of the Lord Jesus Christ and added unto or put in His church. They were set in His church. We find that Jesus Christ was their head, that he was their leader, that he was their pastor and teacher. We find this all to be true. If you'd like to turn with me, and I am going in quite a hurry here because I'm sure that most of you will agree with this much of it. I hope you'll agree with all of it. But in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we find the Bible speaking about Jesus and his church. I believe it was already in existence at this time. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them." So I believe they were not only chosen of Christ, they were not only set in his church, but he was also not only the head, but the leader, the pastor, and teacher of that church. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we find that the Apostle Paul tells us this great truth, that he is the head of the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. In Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, Paul says, "And has put all things under his feet," under Christ's feet, "and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body." So you cannot talk about the body of Christ that you don't talk about the church of Christ. You cannot talk about the church of Christ that you don't have reference to the body of Christ. They are one and the same. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, we find the same thing, except in reverse, as we see. Let me read it to you. In Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 18, he says, "He is the head of the body," the church. In Ephesians, he says, "He is the head of the church, which is the body." In Colossians, he says, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn." We find that these men that were organized into a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it doesn't take a high school education to understand that they were a local, visible body of baptized believers. You could see them. They could assemble themselves together under the headship and authority of Jesus Christ. They could follow him. They could carry out the commandments that he gave them together as a local assembly. So they were local, visible assembly that had John's baptism and directed by Jesus Christ himself. They were also, beloved, if Jesus was the one who instituted them and he called them out himself, then Jesus is the one who organized his kind of church before the day of Pentecost, as we find. We find that he not only chose them out, he not only commissioned them, he was not only their head, their leader, their pastor and teacher, but he also set every one of those men in the church just exactly as he wanted them. Not every one of them held the same place in the church. You say, "How do you know that, Brother Hall?" When you go home, you read Matthew 10, you read Mark, and you read Luke and the book of Acts, and you'll find that each one of them, as they are listed, that Jesus Christ had them organized. Amen. That every time you read that list where they're together, Peter always is mentioned first. He wasn't the first one that was called, but God set him in the church like that. Doesn't mean that he was the first pope. But if you were to read, you would find that Simon Peter is always mentioned first in all of them, even though he wasn't the first one was called. You'll find that he had them set in three groups, four men to a group, that there were three men that were always listed the head of each of these groups. You'll find that the first group of four men were always closest and most dear to the heart of Jesus Christ. The further down the list you go in the church roll, the less you hear of Christ and his dealing and using of those men. Doesn't mean they weren't any more precious, but this is the way that God set them in the church. So we find that Christ set them in the church as it pleased him. Isn't that what the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches us? As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, as he speaks of that physical body, comparing it to the spiritual, and he does it the same way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, Paul says, "But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him." Every one of those men were placed in the body, the church, as it pleased God.
Amen.
They weren't all saved at the same time. They weren't all called at the same time. But some who were called at another time were placed above those that were called first. What I'm trying to say is that God sovereignly sets the members in the church as it pleases him. Every one of us have our place in the body of Christ as it pleases him.
Amen.
It ought to please us to take
Amen.
That place which he has given us. We find that he did send them out to preach the word of God and to carry out those things that he commanded them to do. We find that he sent them out two by two in some instances. We find that he gave them authority to baptize disciples. In John chapter 4, if you want to read it with me, we find that this church, the body of Christ, the first church, these charter members had authority from Jesus Christ himself to baptize disciples. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples," we find that Jesus had given authority to that church to baptize those who followed the Lord by faith. We see in this that Jesus Christ is doing exactly what he said he would do in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. He said, "Upon this rock I will continue to build. I will build my kind of a church." The first church was only one of many of the same kind that would be planted and established in the world, even to this very day. That was the first church. It wasn't the only one of its kind, for from out of that church and out of that work in Jerusalem came other churches just like it. Each one of them independent within itself with Christ as its head.
Amen.
Each one of them had the authority that Christ had delegated to them as independent bodies of baptized believers.
Amen.
To carry out the Great Commission, they had the authority to reproduce themselves by carrying out the Great Commission. Now, this is how churches reproduce themselves, by carrying out the Great Commission of Christ. The only way to do it. And from this church in Jerusalem would come others just like it. All of those churches having their root in that first church. Every church of the Lord Jesus Christ that had ever been planted upon this earth until this very day, all have their root in that first church in Jerusalem. And I say unto you that according to the word of God, that every church that was ever organized and every church that is scripturally organized has always been organized by the authority of another New Testament church
Amen.
Like the one in Jerusalem. I believe they call them New Testament Baptist churches today. I believe the enemies gave us that name. They tagged us with it. And for a long time, it was a name that was meant to be a slur. It was a name that was meant to cast insult. But today, there are those who have ran away with it. Because it seems to be a popular name. But I'm afraid they have no idea what Jesus Christ intended for His kind of churches to do while here upon this earth. And that is to reproduce themselves. Churches producing the same kind of churches as Jesus organized and established during His own personal ministry here upon the earth. And I believe that in the book of Acts, that every church that was organized in the book of Acts was organized by the authority of a New Testament church.
Amen.
Beginning at Jerusalem. Now let's see if this isn't true. Now this is the thing that has bothered me for quite some time, is the fact that folks just think you can run out, you know, and get you a group of people together and get you a church. That's not what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
The Bible teaches that it is by scriptural authority. We do mission work by the authority of the Zohar Baptist Church. The Zohar Baptist Church got her authority from another New Testament Baptist church, and on down the line it goes. But I want you to notice now that I believe this with all of my heart. It's always troubled me. But look with me, first of all, in the book of Acts, chapter 8. You know, it's strange to me how that in most of our preaching today and in most of our declaring the truths about church authority and the authority to reproduce itself, that from the book of Acts, chapter 7, there is a great gap of preaching and teaching left out until you come to Acts chapter 13. Brethren, I don't think that we have to leave that gap.
Amen.
I believe that you can take the book of Acts, which is a history book of the Lord Jesus Christ working by His Spirit in the churches, and they have the authority to reproduce themselves. And from chapter 1 to the last chapter, that's what she does.
Amen.
I think it's about time we quit preaching around things and just declare them as they are.
Amen.
You know what? I found that when a man has to preach around something, it's because he's not too sure of it. But in the book of Acts chapter 8, I believe we find the church at Jerusalem reproducing another church just like her in Samaria. In the book of Acts chapter 8, if you'd like to begin reading with me in verse 1. In verse 1, the Bible says of Acts chapter 8. Now we do all right until we come to chapter 8. And then it seems like many will cease to preach church authority until they get over to the book of Acts chapter 13. But I find it in all of it. In Acts chapter 8 verse 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem." Now remember who the persecution was upon. The church which was at Jerusalem. "And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church." What church? The local church in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Now you remember that.
Amen.
entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they, the members of that church, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now notice this. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now there was great joy in that city, but up to now we don't find a local church. Maybe we find a mission work, but we don't find a local church yet. Well, verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, some folks, I've heard this, brethren, and I never could grasp it. Somebody said, now, where did Philip get his authority to baptize? Same place he got his authority to preach.
Amen.
From the church in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Oh, but you say, now, Brother Hall, you just can't prove that. So the best thing to say is that Philip had special authority from God. That God made an exception. No, he didn't.
Amen.
Philip was a member of the first church in Jerusalem, and he went out preaching by that authority.
Amen. Amen.
I believe we can prove it by the scriptures. Go with me to verse 14 of Acts chapter 8. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. What for? What for? To organize a New Testament church. In verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. I believe they established a New Testament Baptist church in Samaria, and the Spirit of God came upon them in church capacity.
Amen.
As a New Testament church, as he promised. All right, let's see if that isn't true. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 9. We find another interesting case of a New Testament Baptist church that seems to be unrecognized by many. That is the church of Damascus. All right? The Apostle Paul was saved by the grace of God. Again, Paul was baptized. I have heard it said that Ananias could baptize Paul because God made an exception and gave him special authority to baptize Paul. If that be true, what was Paul baptized into?
Amen.
What was he baptized into? You say, well, I believe in church authority. You don't get in the church unless you're baptized into the church by the authority of the church. So was Paul.
Amen.
Paul never could have been a church member unless he was baptized into that church by authority.
Amen.
All right, now let's see if that isn't true. Beginning in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. This is after you say, And there was a certain disciple at Damascus. All right, now there's the place. There's the local place. Named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now listen to Ananias. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man. Now notice this. How much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Now who were those saints at Jerusalem? The local New Testament church.
Amen.
That local body of Christ.
Amen.
Now you see how Ananias calls them the saints in Jerusalem? He said, well, he didn't call them a church. Well, what were they? The saints in Jerusalem were the members of that church. Alright, now notice verse 14. And here in Damascus, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. He had authority to bind who that call on all his name? All those who were members of the church of Damascus. Alright, let's see if that isn't true. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain day with the disciples which were at Damascus.
Amen.
Why was he with those disciples at Damascus? That's the church he was baptized into. We better be careful what we do with Paul and his baptism.
Amen. Amen,
now, you know that he wasn't baptized in the church of Jerusalem. When he did try to get in, they wouldn't have him. Now, if he wasn't baptized in the church of Jerusalem, where was he baptized into? Well, let's go a little bit further now and see if we can't find this. In verse 20, And straightway Paul preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Now notice this, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? Talking about that same local church back in Jerusalem. They called upon his name, upon the name of Jesus. That's what they were. He says, those that call upon his name in Jerusalem, and come hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest. Now the same things that Ananias says about are those who hear about Paul's conversion and baptism into the church of Damascus, they say, isn't this the same one that we heard that he was persecuting those that called upon his name in Jerusalem? Now go back to verse 14 and see if Ananias doesn't say that same thing about the saints in Damascus. In verse 14, Ananias says, And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. The same thing. Used for both places and both people, both assemblies. So we find that Paul had scriptural baptism in the church of Damascus. So what do we have so far? We have a local New Testament church in Jerusalem reproducing itself in Samaria. We have a local New Testament church being produced by that same authority in Damascus. And then when we come to the church at Antioch, now you see there are some churches that were organized before Antioch.
Amen.
In the book of Acts chapter 11, listen to what the Bible says about Barnabas. In Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now notice verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. The church sent him forth with authority that he should go as far as Antioch. Now that's church authority. What do you suppose they sent Barnabas to Antioch for? For the same purpose that they sent Peter and John down to Samaria to organize a New Testament church. In verse 23, the Bible says, who, when he arose and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. How do you add them to the Lord?
Amen.
By the receiving of the gospel of Jesus Christ and scriptural baptism.
Amen.
Well, verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Now listen, verse 26, how it changes. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church.
Amen.
Still reproducing itself by the same authority. God didn't have to make any exceptions. He just did it according to the pattern that he started out with. Now, brethren, if God made one exception, if God changed the pattern in one instance, then why can't the Campbellites have the right to believe and to declare that God made an exception with the thief on the cross when he didn't have baptism? Isn't that what they say? They say, well, now the Lord made an exception with him. He couldn't get to the water. No, salvation is by grace.
Amen.
Minus water. Without the water.
Amen.
And the only way that a New Testament scriptural church can reproduce itself is by scriptural authority.
Amen.
The way God intended and the way God laid it out to start with. Well, we could go on in that, but now we come. You say, but Brother Hall, you can't, the church of Damascus now, where did it come from? It came from one of those churches that were organized before it.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you, brethren, something. How far can you trace yours back? I mean not by the teachings or the doctrines, but by just simply records. Well, you may go back a while, and some have gone back a long ways, but not all can. But they all that are true New Testament churches, they reproduced themselves by authority.
Amen.
Well, when we come to the church at Antioch now, we find that out of the church at Antioch, other churches were organized. They reproduced themselves. In Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God. Now so far, brethren, all the way through, we found that all of these churches have their root in the first church. And the Lord's churches have continued to reproduce themselves because they have the authority to do so. We find that churches were organized and established through the ministry of the church at Antioch. In Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 21, the Bible speaks of Paul and Barnabas when it says in Acts chapter 14, verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church." Out of that one church has already come many churches by the time you come to the book of Acts chapter 13. But they were all done by the same authority. Amen. Through a New Testament church. We find in verse 24, "And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. When they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God." And look at this. "For the work which they fulfilled." Did they fail? The Bible says the work that God gave them, they filled to the full.
Amen.
They did it just the way God commanded and laid it out that they should do it. "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." And it just continues on even unto this day. The churches of Jesus Christ reproducing themselves by the authority delegated unto them by Jesus Christ, their head. This kind of church, the same kind of church from the days of Jesus, has reproduced itself unto this very day.
Amen.
The methods in which is used is the preaching of God's Word.
Amen. Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God directing and moving in and among the churches and making the Word of God that's preached effective in the hearts and souls of the elect of God. Church authority is the only way to establish churches that belong to Jesus Christ. Any Amen. Other way is unscriptural. Scriptural baptism is that which Christ has demanded and commanded that New Testament churches administer to those who have been saved and those upon who or unto whom He adds to the churches. And then, in order to fill to the full the work that God has given us to done by His own authority, we must teach them to observe all things whatsoever He has commanded us.
Amen.
One of the reasons that so many that started out right didn't last is because they left off the last part. When you fail to teach them to observe all things, you come up with a very weak church. And sooner or later, if it doesn't grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't have much to stand on.
Right.
May God help every one of us who are pastors and members of New Testament Baptist churches to realize the great and sacred duties that are ours to carry out the Great Commission.
Amen.
The Lord's churches reproducing themselves by the authority of Christ Himself. That ought to cause us to be missionary today.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.